our scripture reading can be found in the Gospel of Luke and on your screen as well. Chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said to them, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this moment, a moment that will never come again. It doesn't matter how many services we have, this is a special moment deemed for us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Open our hearts to receive what you have for each of us on today. In Christ's name we do pray. And the church said, amen. So as we come together to celebrate our community partnership with Home Elementary, where students, parents, and faculty are gearing up to start a new school year, I come standing in this sacred space with a very, very heavy heart. Heavy and in prayer for the communities and families in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. I want us as a community of faith to take a moment today and time this week to specifically pray for El Paso and Dayton. Where buying school supplies and gathering in a popular area became a place of fear and harm. And as we pray for these communities, for the victims, their families, their friends, those who mourn and suffer, let us remember the first responders. Let us remember those who lost their lives due to this senseless act of violence. And let us, as a community, live by the words in Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Let us pray. God, hear the prayers of our humbled hearts. We pray for comfort and peace in the communities of El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. We pray for the victims and their families. We commit to you all who work for peace and those who serve to uphold law and justice. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide them. And guide us all with your wisdom and strength. In your mercy, hear our prayers, now and always. Amen. In my finite wisdom and zealous excitement, I thought it would be a great idea to create a lectionary series focused on our faith. As a quick reminder, the lectionary is a 3-year cycle of daily scripture readings, 2 from the Old Testament and 2 from the New Testament. It's designed to cover the Bible in a systematic and balanced way. This cycle is already published and available online and in print form for the next several years. I enjoy creating and preaching a series based on the lectionary, even when there is a challenging passage like this one. I mean, think about it. I'm a new preacher, and here we are together 1 full month. And at first glance, the lectionary passage has us, Mina, talking about money. I thought I would at least have enough time for you to like me. I really thought it was a joke. And as you can see, it is not. I have often found the Holy Spirit infuses the lectionary and lines up with what is happening in the moment. And this passage is no exception. This morning, in the midst of early morning tweaks to my message and news alerts that I was awakened to, I want to remind you that Christ is inviting and challenging us into a deeper faith and trust in God. And at the same time, leaves us hanging on the edge of a cliff. Our scripture today airdrops us in the midst of the scribes and the Pharisees being hostile toward Jesus. They're trying to catch him in something he might say that would insult them. In this gospel, a crowd has gathered by the thousands, and we overhear Jesus speaking directly to his disciples. You will find he tells them in verse 7, "Do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows." In verse 11, Jesus says, "Do not worry about how you are to defend yourselves or what you are to say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you at every hour what you need to say." These spiritual words of encouragement are challenging the disciples in their faith. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And this morning, in the wake of these alerts, I have been up for a while. Within this tragedy that has happened in the past 24 hours, we too need to hear these words. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit will teach you. In that moment when Jesus is talking to the disciples, an unnamed individual in the crowd interrupts Jesus with a demand. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." For us today, this may sound like a reasonable request. I shared with the earlier service that one of my brothers, I have 4, owed me money for a very, very long time. So just thinking about this passage brought up those memories. I mean, just thinking about money and family can make some of you squirm, bring back bad or maybe even positive memories. Or for some of you, you are mentally preparing to leave this worship service and immediately start to collect a sibling debt. See, Jesus' response in verse 15 issues an emphatic warning to the disciples, to the crowd, and to us. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Friends, this morning, we are going to sit in this verse, just the one. Even though the parable that follows gives us a powerful example of what it means to be preoccupied with possessions, even though the parable that follows tells us what it means to be secure in self-sufficiency. Even though the parable that follows gives us insight into a rich man's prideful I statements, reminds us to bear witness to what happens when greed eats away at compassion. The rich man says, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, have a good old time.'" In other words, my possessions mean more to me than compassion, and I can do all things on my own. We are sitting in verse 15. And sometimes sitting still can make us a little bit uncomfortable. But we're going to sit here not out of guilt, but out of love and reflection. Because salvation is by grace and faith alone, and human merit has no standing before God. I remember several times being asked by a very good friend of mine who happened to be in the military to go rappelling. And I would like to report that I accepted the challenge and rappelled down a mountain, but I did not. Heights are not my favorite. And see, in this moment, within this obscure passage, it feels as if Jesus has us hanging on a cliff. "Take care," he says. "Be on guard," or "on watch," he says. "Be on guard against all kinds of greed," he says. "For one's life does not consistently match up with abundance and passions," he says. This one verse has me in deep contemplation. I'm contemplating over the heart and the mind of each man who took nearly 30 lives yesterday and this morning. I'm in deep contemplation about how we are to respond as a people of faith. See, greed in its textbook form is a desire to possess more than one needs, where one becomes so self-absorbed, he or she does not take others into account. There seems to be some complexity in defining greed, because Jesus warns us to be on guard against all kinds of greed. Again, we're sitting here. See, Jesus is not condemning either man's wealth or money. Greed in the Greek means first having more, then receiving more, and finally wanting more. And it is not restricted to material possessions. Greed for me can be about time, rest, and space. Greed can be about prioritizing one part of one's life over another. Greed can be about hoarding our gifts until the right person, thing, event, or program comes along. Greed can be about ignoring the violence and pain in our society because it doesn't seem to directly affect us. See, greed is about so many things, not just money. Jesus is not trying to scare us to death. He's trying to give us a true vision of what it means to have a faith-filled, abundant life and to be rich toward God. Jesus is holding a mirror and asking us to take a look at ourselves, take a look at our inner lives, and listen to our inner voices. He is asking us to prioritize God's meaning and purpose for our life and to recognize it is not found in the accumulation of wealth and possessions. Sit in this moment. This morning, through our faith, we are being called to fix our minds and our hearts on having a direct relationship with Jesus Christ, and to assess in our own lives what it means to be rich toward God. There's no last-minute rescue in this passage. We are hanging on a cliff. And it is because of our faith that Christ is saying, let go. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? It means careful discernment towards various dimensions of what you consider valuable in your life. It means taking a bold leap of faith and acknowledging that our lives and our possessions are a gift from God to be shared with others. It means to be used to advance God's agenda for care and compassion. It means to take the freedom and power given to us by God to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. It means putting our whole trust in God and following Him as our Lord. Being rich toward God intentionally means listening to the words of Jesus Christ, prioritizing prayer and giving, growing and serving. Being rich toward God is an action, and it's required to continue to build our faith. Being rich toward God consists of prayerfully trusting an almighty God that will provide every need in your life. And finally, being rich toward God means hearing these words. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Being rich toward God boldly takes us to this table of grace, where we are called to reflect the goodness of the Lord even in the midst of tragedy, where we are called to pray for those who are hurt and suffering and not ignore what's happening, where we are called to give out of our abundance and not out of our lack. Let us be rich toward God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, as always. There's no one like you. No one who challenges us in the early mornings to get up and change your sermon. Who wants to do that? Who says, speak truth to power, and those who hear will hear. Who says, take risks in our life and be rich toward God. But Lord, as we come to your table and we walk boldly in our faith, let our action from the pew to the prayer rails be filled with you and who you are calling us to be. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Can we do that one more time? Amen.